Our Father, in ourselves we have nothing but weakness and wickedness, we deserve nothing but curse. But in Christ, you have not only counted him as our righteousness, so that we may have the blessing that he deserves, but you have even granted unto us his strength, his life, his goodness, to be in us by your Spirit. We pray that your Spirit would help us now, and that as we think about what fruit comes from Christian generosity, that you would make us to desire these things, that you would make us to desire Christ above all, and his glory and your glory in him, that we might consider ourselves well repaid by the fruit that comes of our generosity in him. So help us as we study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, these are God's words. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen indeed. So, the apostle, you remember at the end of last week's portion, was saying that he's rejoicing over the gift that the Philippians have sent him, not so much over the gift itself, but over the fruit that abounds to their account. And he begins, indeed, in verse 18, and he's about to tell us what is some of that fruit that abounds to the Philippians' account for having been generous with Paul, and their generosity having been used not only for Paul's own supply, but for the work of the gospel and so forth. And he's about to tell us some of the things, some of the fruit that abounds unto the account of believers, that God, having given it to them in Christ, now reckons unto them or responds to them for the sake of Christ. Whenever we get to the next part of the Westminster Confession of good works, one of the things we'll see there is that the good works of a Christian are not meritorious, they're not done well enough to deserve anything good, but they do come from Christ in us, and they are rewarded according to Christ and his worthiness. And so there is a reward of grace, not of merit, for those things. And so as we think about fruit abounding to the account of believers, we're thinking about some of the things that for Christ's own sake, the Lord calls us to come out of our generosity. And then responding to what he has caused to come out of our generosity, he blesses us in response to Christ being our worthiness, as if it had come even from us. The fruit that abounds to our account. Well, the first part of it is plenty for Paul. Paul knew how to have nothing and how to be abased, but that's not his situation anymore, is it, according to verse 18. The Lord, by the Philippians, has sent him a gift, and he's saying, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. So three different ways he tells them that God, who has given him in Christ the ability, the strength, to be content with nothing, hasn't left him with nothing. By the generosity of the Philippians, he's given them everything that he needs. And so we rejoice when we have plenty, and we rejoice to tell others, when they have been generous with us, that God has used that generosity to make us to abound, to give us plenty. The second thing is the praise of God. This is not just received from Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, and he doesn't tell us what those things were, perhaps financial, perhaps some other sort of supply, but he emphasizes what they are spiritually. A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. Well, there are several places that we hear that kind of language. The first, however, is in Genesis chapter 8, when Noah has just gotten off of the ark. And think about what the Lord has done. Noah is not offering sacrifices unto God that he may be saved, is he? He has just been shown an amazing salvation. Can you imagine? Even more than when he was on the ark and he could hear the thunder, and many of you have heard thunder, and the rain, and many of you have heard rain a lot recently, have you? But nothing like Noah had heard. But especially when he comes out of the ark, and he looks around, and he and his family are the only ones left on earth. What a great salvation God had saved him with! And now, because they took 7 of the clean animals to start with, and they've been on the ark for a year, there are even more of those clean animals, and he knows what they are for. For offering as a sacrifice of praise unto God. And that sacrifice, of course, looks forward to Jesus. And that's the second place, I think, especially, that the apostle is reminding us of, or at least the Holy Spirit, in comparing Scripture with Scripture, is reminding us of the first couple of verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And so as we imitate God as dear children, we imitate especially the only begotten Son, and our walking in love to one another is an offering of praise up unto God. It doesn't have atoning value. Christ's offering of himself had atoning value, right? Ours doesn't. Ours just praises God for the salvation that we have received. And so there's plenty for Paul, and there is praise for God, and there is God's pleasure with them. When we realize the way that Noah's sacrifice looked forward to Christ, and so that is well-pleasing to God. He views that which Noah offers after he gets off the ark, and there is the picture that he has given Noah of his son. And he's pleased with Noah for the sake of his son, and he's pleased with Noah's sacrifice for the sake of his son. So also, not only is God praised by your loving one another and being generous to one another, but he sees his son. And he is pleased with what he is producing in you by his grace. Likeness unto Jesus Christ. And so there's plenty for Paul, and there's praise unto God, and there's the pleasure of God in and with the Philippians, in whom he sees now the likeness of his son. And there's also provision. Not just the provision for Paul, although there was that, but now Paul turns around and he says, you guys better get ready to abound. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, Christian generosity is counterintuitive. The unbeliever, his hand is tightened because he's afraid that he may impoverish himself by giving. The Christian need suffer no such fear. Now, there are those to whom you must give first. And we've mentioned this a couple of times as we've been moving through this passage. The first believers, the first saints that you are responsible to be generous with are those in your house. Especially if you are the head of a household, you may not take that which is necessary unto your family and use it to be generous with others. Because if you don't take care of your house, the scripture says, you've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. But in your giving to your family, or your family's giving to others, or if you are not the head of a household, and you have much more liberty to give outside of the house, the Christian need never worry about impoverishing themselves through generosity. Now, there is generosity only, it's only generosity if it's good for the person. We can't spend a lot of time in these afternoon lessons, but if you are hardening someone in their laziness, or if you are giving them that which you have reasonable expectation will be squandered on that which is harmful to them, that's not generosity. But a Christian, when it is generosity, when it's truly generous in the biblical way, need not fear impoverishing himself. And my God shall supply all your need, Paul says to the Philippians, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so he's saying, by your giving to me and your having need now, he's recognizing that Paul was in distress and they had enough, but they decided to share in his distress, right? That's the language that he used a few verses ago. And now Paul has enough, but they have need. He says, but God is faithful. My God shall supply. God is shall supply all your need. God is rich according to his riches. So God is going to be shown as faithful. God is going to be shown as having all of the wealth and in all of his wisdom. Everything belongs to him. God is going to be shown as glorious. And God is going to be shown most of all of these things to them in Christ, by providing for them. So part of what abounds to the account of a Christian who's being generous is how God continues to meet their own needs, despite the fact of their generosity. So there's plenty for fall. There's praise unto God. There's God's pleasure with them. There's God's provision coming to them. And then this is, again, the praise of God, but it's especially the paternal and perpetual phrase of God. Remember Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Walk in love as beloved children, and Jesus imitating Christ, who gave himself for us as a sweet smelling aroma. And now he says, now to our God and Father. In other words, now to the one whose family resemblance you are displaying as you are generous. So there's the parental praise. Praise for God as our Father. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Perpetual praise. Because that likeness that God is producing in the Philippian believers is one that's going to be completed. They've been predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. And those whom God justifies, he also glorifies. So Paul says at the beginning of the letter, he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. And now he's saying that parental praise that God gets as he reproduces his image in you through your Savior is one that will go forever and ever as that work is completed in making you like the Savior. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Christian generosity bears all of this wonderful fruit from Christ and is accounted to us on account of the worthiness of Christ. Praise God, may he tempt us, as it were, to be to walk in love and to be generous with one another. Let's pray. We thank you, our God, that you are the great and generous God who did not spare your own Son, but gave him up for us. That you have so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. We thank you for the perfect display of that in Christ, who loved us and gave himself up for us as his bride, offering himself not just for us, but doing so unto you as a sweet sacrifice, as a sweet smelling aroma and pleasing to you. And we pray, O God, that you would get much glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, by the ongoing work that you are doing in our lives and especially even by this part of that work, making us walk in love, making us to be generous, making us, even when others are generous with us, to desire that fruit like this unto your glory would be reckoned into their account. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.